Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Your voice is hanging in there, Rachel. I have to admit.
Aren't you proud of me? Yeah. You would think that I would have come back with no voice at all. And was that me yesterday? Absolutely. 24 hours in Vegas. I mean, in Miami.
You ever had the voice thing figured out?
I love that you're so concerned about it.
Well, it directly affects my livelihood.
Okay. First off, no. Yes, I think my voice actually sounds, I think it sounds a little good with a little, like this raspy is appropriate. Mm-hmm. But why would I get it checked out? I know exactly what's happening. I flew to Miami and landed at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
On Saturday. I go to the hotel, sleep for a second, wake back up to surprise my friend because I had a hunch that she was probably getting engaged as well with the pressure. Her boyfriend was like, come on, come down here. We're on a boat, from 12 to 8, drinking the sun. We're celebrating her because it's a surprise proposal. We go to Kiki on the River.
What's that?
It's like the spot. It's a restaurant on the river in Miami, and it turns into a club as well. So it's dinner, it's a club, and then I'm home at 2? I wake up and I have an 8:30 a.m. flight. So I'm up at 6.
Jesus Christ.
This is why my voice gets like this.
You are still in college mode.
No.
Yes, you are.
As if I do that every weekend. If one of your good friends was going to get engaged, that's the only time I had. I didn't want to take off work. I'm out of vacation days pretty much. Uh-huh. This is all I could do. I'm a good friend is what I am, Van. A good friend.
I'm not though, because I've missed like 2 weddings. I miss, you know, sometimes.
No, that's unacceptable.
Sometimes it just doesn't happen. One wedding, it was okay more than the other one. One friend, I have to make it up to him. The other friend, it was his second wedding, so it doesn't really matter as much.
That is so rude.
It matters because I love...
Because I know who you're talking about.
I love his wife. I love his wife. His wife is such an amazing person, an amazing addition to my life and all of our lives. But, you know, you go to
That's
one wedding.
That's so rude.
You go to one so wedding. It's kind of like, cool.
Especially if she's that amazing too and you miss out.
She's
new. Just because a wedding is not new to him doesn't mean it's not, you know what I mean? It's new to her.
So, you know, whatever. But the other wedding that I missed, that one was worse. Well, that was actually 2 other ones that I missed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I need to make it up to both of those people.
Will people? I guess I'm just in this phase though in life where I work so much that I'm just like, I just want to make sure that I'm making memories at the same time. Like, I don't want to miss out because, you know, I had to sleep. That would have been my only excuse not to go.
It's not about sleep.
Because I wanted to rest. I wanted a day to rest.
I make memories when I watch the premiere of Succession.
You know, I haven't watched it yet, so don't say anything.
It's a good show. Now, what? It's 5 seasons. Like, it's over for you.
No. I haven't watched the new episode. I'm caught up.
Oh, you're caught
up? I haven't watched the premiere. Don't do me.
You're caught up. Got Succession. Mm-hmm. You're caught up. Rachel knows going on with the Roy family. She's so caught up. Got me feeling it. Caught up. Usher. So you went, you hung out with your friends. You guys kiki'd on the river.
And I introduced my friend to her now fiance.
Okay.
So that's part of it too. That's why.
Where was she at when you guys introduced? How did you guys? What is he? Is he from The Bachelor?
I met her on The Bachelor. Did not like her the first night. She came in a costume, and I was like, "This is the kind of stuff that I didn't sign up for."
All right.
We bonded over Michael Jackson the second day.
Oh, wow.
And the rest is history. So she, after we got off The Bachelor, I was having lunch with one of my homeboys, and I was like, "What are y'all doing for New Year's?" And he was like, "I got like 7 guys going to Miami." I said, "Bet, I got 7 girls. Y'all get the table. We'll all go. It'll be a good time." And we did. And they met.
Wow. And then they got married.
And then 6 years later, they're engaged.
How many friends would you say you have from Batch?
From my season?
Just Batch overall.
Well, there's a couple of like, because I've got, there's more, I would miss out. Let me just stick with my season, the season that I was on. No, because like, I would forget somebody. I'd say probably have like four friends outside of my season, and then not including the Bachelorettes. My season, four. Alexis, Astrid, Whitney, Christina. That's my solid. That's my solid. You've met some of them.
I've met Whitney.
You met Whitney. Christina was at the book party, but you probably didn't see her. Go Sports. Christina's at the book party. Astrid lives in Toronto, and Alexis is the one who just got engaged.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend?
Let's see. Saturday, I played a little Madden.
Okay.
I moderated a conversation between Gino and Ian.
You're from the Player Proof crew?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do this in public?
No. So this is what happened. So this is what happened. I called Ian.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gino called. So I'll tell you guys who these guys are. Walter, Gino McLaughlin.
Wait, they don't get along?
They do get along.
Okay, I know somebody in the friend group that they fight. They fight a lot. They hit below the belt. That's, I know way too much about the Player Proof group.
So Ian is the one in the group that hits below the belt.
Okay.
Gino, we all go for what we call a low blow when we're talking about each other. Ian is the one who brings the low blow out first. Everybody knows that. Ian, he has a very prodigious ego. So if you get to Ian, Ian will cut you deep. That's his thing.
Okay.
But we all have different personalities, but you know, there's some members of the crew that don't get along with some other members of the crew as well, but whatever. But these guys have philosophical differences. And Gino is a community activist. You know, he does a lot of work in Baton Rouge. He's a political organizer and community activist. Ian is a capitalist. So they had like a 3-hour conversation on what Black people need to do. And I did not realize Ian was kind of as conservative as what he was. Oh. And some of the stuff that they were talking, it was interesting though, because these are the conversations that I feel like Black people have. I actually want them, to have the conversation here.
Come on. I would love it.
Some of the stuff Ian was saying was like, he was like, I'm not going to speak for him, but it was interesting that he, because, you know, Ian makes a lot of money selling pharmaceutical weed. He's Ian is with Big Pharma, shoving drugs down the throat of America. That's what he does. So you know what happens when niggas start making some money?
Where does Ian live? Is he in New Orleans?
He lives in New Orleans.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Gino lives in Baton Rouge. So we stayed on the phone literally for like 3 hours. Okay. And then after that, I came back. And then we went to go see John Wick Chapter 4.
How is that?
That shit was amazing.
Best one?
So it's hard to beat John Wick 1 because of the surprise factor. But as a movie, it's not close that John Wick 4 is better.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. John Wick 4 is not just great because of a very tight script or the amazing, breathtaking action scenes, right? It's great because the movie is insanely well-directed with some of the most inventive shots I've seen in an action movie in a long time, right? And the scale and beauty of the movie is breathtaking. Some of the set pieces in the movie were absolutely stunning. Bill Sarsgaard is in the movie as the Marquis.
Yes.
Thank you for, you know, terrifying me. He is the best dressed character in cinema history. I'm not even fucking around. The dude's suits are laid. He plays the Marquis. He's the bad guy. The suits are crazy. He got a red and black joint. Like, I literally, like, I'm like, yo, I got to figure out how to dress like that. Like, I wonder if they have that suit.
Wonder if you knew a stylist.
At Destination XXXL, the big and tall men's store. You can get it custom made. You can't wear them suits. It wouldn't even look the same.
I gotta see it. And Van, stop. We're not gonna do this. We're not gonna have a segment every single time where you do this to yourself. We're just not. I'm not gonna have it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just joking around. It's a cope. Look, I'll be honest with you. And then, you know, Sunday, I had lunch with Nick May and a couple of friends. End up being at the Nick May, Boaz Shaquin, shout out to my homies. And a couple of friends end up being at the farmer's market too. And we had lunch. And then True Food Kitchen, me and Kalika on Sunday night. Look, but I'll be honest with you. There was a cloud over the weekend.
What?
What happened in New York, man?
Speaking of cloud, yeah.
Yeah.
I met Kiki on the river having a phone conversation with you.
Yeah.
Kiki and Kalika. On the river.
Yeah. So we'll just get into it right now. Actually, we'll take a break and then we'll get into it. Yeah, there's no way to do it other than to do it. Let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA, I make calls, I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
All right. Big deal of the day is the news that everybody got this weekend about somebody we've had on the show, a friend of the show, Jonathan Majors. He was arrested in New York after police were called to a domestic dispute. Okay. The timeline of this goes like this. Jonathan Majors was arrested, I think it was 11 a.m. on Saturday, around that time. The dispute in question, there was a dispute. It's alleged what happened in the dispute, but there seems to be no doubt that there was some sort of dispute or disturbance, should I say. That happened Friday night. Okay. Friday night. Friday night, Jonathan Majors and a woman who is being identified as his girlfriend were in a taxi on their way home from a bar in Brooklyn when she alleges that he physically attacked her. The victim informed police she was assaulted, a police spokesman said. Officers placed Jonathan into custody without incident. They each went to separate places that night, but this happened the next morning. The victim reportedly sustained minor injuries to her head and neck and was removed to an area hospital. in stable condition. This woman has claimed, it's an unidentified woman, should I say, has claimed that Majors struck her about the face with an open hand, causing substantial pain and a laceration behind her ear. She also alleges that Jonathan Majors grabbed her hand and put his hands on her neck, causing swelling, bruising, and substantial pain to her neck and hand. We will stop here before we continue to go forward, because there is more information and more news about this. You know what? There's no reason to. We'll continue. Yeah. Jonathan Majors' attorneys and Jonathan Majors, Jonathan Majors through his attorneys, have released their side of the story to a degree. They claim that this is not true and that this is, he is innocent of all charges. They also claim that they have evidence to his innocence, being the testimony of the cab driver of the car that they were in. And also, they're claiming that through his lawyer, Jonathan Majors is claiming that the woman has already recanted her assault allegations. Two written statements from the woman recanting these allegations. The lawyer also maintains that Majors is completely innocent and provably the victim of an altercation with a woman that he knows. They also claim the woman was having an emotional crisis for which she was taken to the hospital and that Majors did not assault her whatsoever. Jonathan's team also says that they are quickly gathering and presenting evidence, including video footage from the vehicle where this episode took place and testimony from witnesses, like I said before. And they're going to give that to the district attorney. The NYPD is required to make an arrest in these situations, required to make an arrest. And this is the only reason Mr. Majors was arrested. We expect these charges to be dropped soon. In the meantime, the Army, which has been running a Be All You Can Be campaign with Jonathan Majors, has paused that. They said they're deeply concerned by the allegations. He is innocent until proven guilty, but prudence dictates that we pull our ads until the investigation into these allegations is complete. That is all we know at this time right now. Rachel.
I don't want to talk about it, which is what I told you, which was literally the first thing I said when it happened, before we even got on the phone. Here's my thing. I'm not going to opine on the facts that we know thus far that you stated, or, you know, what's coming from his camp and what, you know, we know from what the police are saying as well. I'm not going to give an opinion on that. I'm more so going to talk about the way it was handled in the court of public opinion.
Okay.
Which the moment that this news dropped, that was my first thought. I thought, my God, the way people are about to do this on social media and on blogs and on, you know, their YouTube channels, whatever it may be, it's going to be out of hand. And there's going to be two schools of thought and even some stuff in between. Jonathan Majors said something one time where, I don't know, he's talking to some publication and he said, you know, a lot of people talk to him about how private he is. And he said that he has no desire to deal with the fuckery of the industry. And like when I saw the discourse that was happening on social media, how like, not to quote Kanye, but you know how he was like, they love you, then they hate you, then they love you again. It made me think of that quote because of the way that people were all about Jonathan Majors. And before a statement can come from his camp, before all the evidence is in, immediately it's switched and they're quick to cancel, quick to take back the things that they said, quick to accuse without all of the information in front, which we've talked about this on this podcast before. We've talked about how, you know, a responsibility when you have a microphone, when you're a journalist, whatever it may be that you speak out and give your opinion on things, that you have a responsibility to kind of wait until all the information is there, or at least more information is there. But the quickness that people had with the accusations towards Jonathan without even knowing if there was another side. When we know there's a possibility that there could be another side coming off the heels of what we just saw with Michael Irvin. You know, there could be another side to the story. That just happened. That was, I guess that was my disappointment with the whole thing, how quick people were. And then even as more information came out, then people are quick to change it all over again. And it's like, when do we learn that maybe we should just sit back and wait until more evidence, because we probably never know all the evidence, more evidence comes in, rather than just being so quick to have that viral moment on social media or on the news.
So I want to make sure that I take a step back and give space to all the victims of domestic violence who might be listening to this, who might be triggered by the story itself or the conversation surrounding the story or, you know, what they, you know, what's happened to them or you know, their life experience. It's very important.
We should have said trigger warning at the beginning of this.
Okay. So this is the way I look at it. I mean, my estimation of this is the same way my estimation is of everything else. There is an arrest made, there is an allegation, and that is not in any way tantamount to a conviction. That doesn't mean that it happened.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. Like when you say that, we have to understand that I think what happens or what a lot of people see is that they don't feel like everyone gets that same sort of treatment. There are certain people that an arrest or something comes out and it's like, okay, well, we believe that that person did that, or we believe that this person did that. And it seems to be that our ability to sit back and wait and have discernment about what goes on in situations like this is directly related to how much we like the person in question. And so I think that is something that bears discussing. I'll be honest. I don't want this to be true.
Of course.
I don't want it to be true. I can't talk about what I believe. I can talk about the fact that as the hours and minutes and seconds tick on, there seems to be less certainty about what people thought was absolutely certain on Saturday. Okay. Right. But I don't want this to be true, because the Jonathan Majors that I've met and the Jonathan Majors that I've talked to has been a kind, gracious, deep individual. That being said, you really never know what's going on with someone. And just being so proud of him and his accomplishments and rooting for him so hard, something like this, which a lot of people would look at as unforgivable, it would be just shocking and really disappointing and really hard and sad. But in this case, it's the same the way it is for anyone. As far as I'm concerned, there is something that comes out. You look at all of the factors that are involved in it, and then you make a decision about whether or not you believe what's going on, or the law plays itself out and the evidence is given. And once the evidence is given, you make a decision based upon the outcome of the case. Been wrong before on both sides.
Sure.
Been wrong thinking that people didn't do something. Been wrong thinking that people did do something. Jussie Smollett comes out. Staunch advocate, supporter, still am of Jussie Smollett. The further it got along, the more I started to see that maybe this isn't true. Okay? Now, to that point, I want to ask you a question, because either Jonathan Majors is involved in this and did this, or he didn't do it. And that we're going to see. Everyone is going to be able to make up their own mind about what comes out, the evidence that comes out, and all of that stuff. I want to have a different conversation with you, and I'll ask you about it. So, well, you know, it comes out, And I actually read a tweet from somebody who was supposed to join us on the car, the podcast today. And the tweet said, Jonathan Majors is done. Jonathan Majors is over. That was as soon as his arrest was announced. I saw other people that were just saying, hey, I love to Jonathan Majors, but now it looks like he's done. He's trash. He's all of this. You talked about the term. How do you, for you, a woman, and then I'll talk about a black woman, and then I'll talk about how I look at this. How do you reconcile the need to believe and prioritize victims of sexual assault and assault and domestic violence by men with the responsibility of waiting for evidence and relying on the information at hand and not emotions? What does that look like to you?
I mean, kind of what they did or what they're supposed to do according to whatever their standard is in New York. A complaint was made by a victim. There were visible injuries and they took that person in. And I think that is protecting the victim, right? Because you don't know. There's a complaint. I'm seeing injuries that align with what you're complaining for the safety of the victim, alleged victim, I should say, that I'm going to take that person in. I think that is looking out for the victim, right? Because too often in the past, it was ignoring what that victim had to say, man or woman, what they had to say, and kind of doing an assessment right there in the moment without everything coming to light. So I think there is a procedure that has to be followed. Even if it does turn out to not necessarily be true, you have to take the victim at their word in the moment, I believe. And that to me is putting the victim first. What was the second part of what you said?
How do you reconcile? Essentially, that's the answer. You reconcile. So what I was asking is because, you know, there's a slogan, believe all women. And there's a question in what it means to believe. You know, that some people say that believe all women means. And first of all, I want to make sure that people understand. I'm not shooting holes in the notion that we should believe women.
No.
Right. I'm asking what you mean by that. Do you mean when it said believe all women, does it mean believe them in the sense that their accusations are taken seriously?
Yes.
Properly investigated, that they are prioritized. As opposed to a time when a woman would say that something happened to them and no one would care.
Right.
Or does that mean believe when a woman says that she is assaulted in any way, despite whatever evidence to the contrary might come out?
Well, it has to be given both ways, right? So if you know, the term believe all women, really any victim, to take basically everything that I just said, you have to take into consideration the fact that an accusation is made. There might, whatever coincides with that accusation, injuries, whatever it may be, you separate them. You have to have a due process of putting that person, taking that person away from the victim to protect the victim. However, and you let that play out because you have to take that seriously, because what's on the other side of it, if you don't, could be deadly. And so, but at the same time, should that accusation not be true, then you also have to give that latitude to the person who's accused. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's what doesn't happen. So let's just say, in general, an accusation's made. Turns out it's not quite what that accusation was. Too often, in the court of public opinion, people have already deemed that person as if they were guilty, as if they did do it. And I think that if you're going to put the victim first, which I absolutely feel you should, then you also, if it turns out to not necessarily be the case, have to make sure that you give that person what they get to back, their character, their reputation, whatever it may be, if it turns out it was false. And that's not what's happening. It's always one or the other. You know what I mean?
Can you get your character, your reputation, your career, your good name back if an accusation is proven false? Do you get that back?
It depends who you are. But what's going to happen is, and you know this, the first time the person decides to give a statement, they're going to have to address it. Or whenever an article is written about, at least initially, it's going to say somewhere in that article, so-and-so was accused of this, blah, 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 blah. It follows you. It becomes a part of, it does become, even if you're proven guilty, it's still something that people reference. They do it all the time. But I think depending on who you are, people forget. They have short-term, public has short-term memory.
So for me, the way I'll kind of look at this, and just so that we know and so that we say it, so that everybody knows, the overwhelming majority of women who say that they were sexually assaulted or the victims of domestic violence are telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversations about with different people that I know this weekend about what those numbers might look like, and you know what those numbers, what the statistics, sort of the story that the statistics tell, should I say, about those numbers. There have been numerous studies done in America, in Canada, in other places, which the purpose of the studies were to try to figure out the number of false accusations that exist when it comes to this type of violence. The numbers are very small. If you refuse to listen to those statistics, or if you believe they're in some way fraudulent, or if they don't hold any weight to you, that's fine. You're free to do that. I would like for you to never use statistics to make any argument at any point ever again, but those numbers are right there. The question is, knowing that that's the fact and knowing that there should be extra added protection that we have for the women in our society, how do we deal with these things in a responsible way where we know that shit happens? There are always anecdotal cases of this being the other way. There's the Duke Lacrosse case. There is the Michael Irvin situation that just happened. There's also a case going on right now in Northern California where a woman made accusations against one of her colleagues at Stanford, and they ended up not being true. The danger is those cases where things were not the way that they seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Those anecdotes are used then to prove for an entire population that bitches be lying. And that there's some shadow conspiracy to take out intelligent, strong, prominent Black men. And the best way to do that is for a woman to launch a false accusation. And by the way, there's some history in that. There's some history in a Black man in America being the victim of a false allegation, particularly from a white woman, when either his career wants to be destroyed or when white people want an excuse to kill niggas. Mm-hmm. So there are all of these things that are mixed up. Whenever we see somebody who's prominent and Black that's been accused of something, and we all run to our silos first before having a nuanced conversation about them, because it's difficult to do, because it feels like if you have a conversation that somebody has to lose once the words come out of your mouth. If you have a conversation about, hey, what the evidence is in this trial, then it seems like you're making space for Jonathan Majors. If you have a conversation about the fact that we should believe accusers no matter what, then it seems like you're condemning him. When really, with something as serious as this, what we should want to do is be as smart on it as we can. Now, we do that, Rachel.
Right.
And Higher Learning, the podcast, we all do that, knowing that if this were Mike Pence, that we would be talking about this story differently. And we have to make sure that our audience, that I have to make sure that our audience knows that I am being 100% honest with them. If this were Mike Pence, if this were Tucker Carlson, shit, if this were one of these other people I don't give a fuck about, this conversation would probably sound different. And to be honest with you, I'd be lying if I didn't say that that were true.
Yes, the conversation, I think we would acknowledge the fact of this. You have to wait till all the evidence comes in, but absolutely it would be a different conversation, but also not just because you despise those folks. They're white men. And the way we see things play out in the media with white men versus black men is a totally different conversation.
What I'm saying is, if it were Tim Scott also, it would still be different. I'm just being for real.
It would be different.
Yeah.
Well, that takes away from what I'm saying about the fact, you know, because white men versus black men. Fine. Right. Throw Tim Scott in there. Sure, it would be different. I mean, we would give a blanket statement and then we would go in on Tim.
Well, I mean, so look, what I said earlier is true. I'm being fucking 1,000,000% honest. I both want all women to be protected from assault in any form. And I also want this to not be true. I want this to either be a situation to where someone feels something happened that didn't really happen, or somebody got caught up in their emotions. I don't want this to be true. And
it's just bad.
As the evidence comes out, any evidence that looks like it seeks to exonerate Jonathan, I'm ecstatic to read it.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even talk about the fact that sources are saying he called 911.
People are saying he called 911. But just, I want to address the gigantic and maybe even dangerous hypocrisy in that fact. Because it's not just going to be guys or men that we don't like that are going to be perpetrators of assault against women. It's not just going to be men that we are diametrically opposed to culturally and politically that are going to be the perpetrators of sexual assault, violence, and harassment against women. Sometimes it's going to be the ones that we like. Sometimes we are going to have to confront that fact.
Sure.
I'm not saying that Jonathan Majors is guilty of anything. As a matter of fact, like I said before, I am desperately hoping that he's not, and pleased to see that there's some sort of, but at the same time, it is what it is.
Let me just be clear about this. Even if we would have a different conversation, if it was Tucker or Tim Scott, I wouldn't want it to still be true, because there would be a victim. I just want to make that very clear. Okay. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't want that to be true, because that means somebody was harmed in the process. Yeah. And at the end of the day, we both agree that it's the victim first. I'm not even mad at the fact that there was the way that the procedure is and plays out. I agree with that wholeheartedly. If an accusation is made, you got to take it seriously. But I wouldn't want that to ever be the case. Let's get them on something else.
I want everybody to, I also want everyone to know this, is that there are a couple other things I want to talk about. I want everyone to know is there's some other things at play here. Number one, we should name this. There's a very prominent actor named Ezra Miller, who is the star of the upcoming DC movie, The Flash. Ezra Miller has been accused of multiple different improprieties, assaults, dangerous behaviors. And this movie's coming out. Some of the stories that they've been involved in are bizarre. Some of them seem really dangerous. And some of them you're like, oh, I don't fucking. So automatically people are saying, what about Ezra Miller? What about all of these other things? If we're going to have a focus, we should have focus on the case that we're talking about. The last thing about this case. I'm not sure if this is true because there have been no pictures, but everyone seems to think that this lady is white.
She is white.
Okay. Right away, that makes me feel a way. And I would be lying if I didn't discuss it. I'm doing my best to be totally transparent here about
does
every way that I'm feeling
about
this. Does it
change the fact that that is, yes, it is a white woman. Okay, it is. Uh-huh. Does it change for you that this has been someone that he's been with for a while? Does it change the fact this is his girlfriend, not somebody that he just knew? This is somebody that he's known for what sounds like years. Does that change it for you?
No.
Okay.
And this is me admitting who I am now and speaking with some of my brain and some of my trauma. The lady that's involved in the situation down in Shelby County with the police force. So that everybody knows, we haven't really covered that story. And the reason why we haven't covered it is because we taped a segment on it. And I'll just talk about this. And then when we listened back to the segment, it didn't sound the way we wanted it to sound. Because what it looks like happened in Shelby County from the southern watch out for these white girls sort of way that I was born was that a woman was having fun with some of her coworkers and some of these guys are black and that there were multiple affairs and all kinds of stuff that were happening. And then after it went bad, she says that the big black guys took advantage of me. And that story is so old and it's so a part of Americana and it's so a part of what they warn you about. It's just hard to shake it. And, you know, your pain and your trauma and sometimes your disdain and resentment for America, it can dehumanize you as well. So when I look at the fact that the woman here is white, there's a part of me that goes, is she not getting on with him? Are they into it about something else? Is the fact that his star is rising and whatever, does she know that she has this over his head? And that she could just dead his shit. Like, it's all of these things that go through my mind. It's all of this stuff that I've been told from fathers and uncles and granddads and all of this stuff. He was about to go here and do this. And then you wonder how much of that was bullshit. You know, how much of that is real? It's just, it's a confusing emotional thing. That's why the best thing to do is to put your emotions and how you feel about white women, about America, about accusations, about all of that stuff, and just deal in what information you have. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying my best to do this, but I'm going to be lying to y'all if I told you I'm not praying that this isn't true about Jonathan.
That's very honest of you. That's very honest of you and not really easy to admit. Listen, when it came out, the optics, knowing that it's white, black, white woman, black man, the optics don't look good because of everything that you just said it in regards to the historic nature of that relationship in this country. But you said it all. I don't have those same feelings. I'm not a black man. I don't. Yeah. I,
And you don't really like them that much as well.
And so. I can't stand them anyway. So,
so it's like, it's, you know, you're like,
they got another one.
Cross another one off the list.
I really hope everything works out for both parties involved in this situation.
Well, it's not going to work out for both parties.
We don't know, right? Like if it is as the attorneys for Jonathan Majors are claiming to be, then it sounds like there was some type of emotional breakdown and, you know.
Let's see, Rachel, that's what I'm this is what I mean though. And I'm sorry to jump in. It can't work out for both parties because if this did not happen the way she fucking said that it happened,
you're right.
I would be furious. You know what I mean? And if it happens the way that she says that it happened, I would be deeply, deeply, deeply disappointed and also mad. You know, so it can't work out for everybody in this situation.
And to add to that, you're right. And to add to that, I guess I mean, like, I don't want anybody to be, like, physically harmed. But yes, to add to that, what I talked about character, if it's not true as she reported it, then this is also already detrimental to his reputation, to his character, and with everything else people want to say, you know, are already trying to put out there. So, yes, it's... And to add to that, if it's not the way that she reported it, it's just bad for victims in general, as we talked about earlier. So you're right. There's just too many. It's too much.
Before we get off of it, have you seen any of the Twitter talk?
Yeah, I'm on that shit.
That. Have come out in light of this. There are people who have talked about what they feel like. Well, how does that, you know, just so everybody knows. So I say there have been two different people who have said that, you know, Jonathan Majors in the past has been mean. He's been a sociopath. The allegations, and I don't want to mean to downplay them, are pretty strong. And they say that they have friends that have known for years that Jonathan Majors is a specific way. Rachel, what do you think about that?
Like it's two people. It's secondhand, maybe even third, fourth hand. I don't know how it's friends of friends. It's their friends. It's, you know, I've heard in the community huge, strong things that are being said. I don't even want to repeat some of the words. And here's the thing. They're talking about him professionally and they're talking about him personally. Even if there's somebody who's like difficult to work with, doesn't necessarily translate to them being violent personally in their personal life, because it's just such a reach for me and it hasn't been rooted in anything other than, well, my friend said it and it's known. And to me, if it's that known out there, I would just think that there might be more information. But I also just, it's such damaging things that the people are saying. I just also don't understand how you could fix your fingers to type that without any like hardcore proof.
So he was just formally charged. This is coming from Donnie. 3 counts of assault in the third degree, aggravated harassment, and in the second degree. Three counts of attempted assault in the third degree, should I say. Wait a minute. These are all the...
This is all 3 counts.
Okay, so 3 counts of assault in the third degree, aggravated harassment in the second degree, and 3 counts of attempted assault in the third degree. These charges are just happening now, Donnie? I thought that these charges had already... I'd read about charges before this.
But this is from Variety as of an hour ago. And it looks like some other news outlets are publishing this with updated information.
Interesting. Okay. I had read about charges.
He was arraigned, but he was released without bail. That was this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was 2 hours ago. I'm trying to see. See the article?
I had read about the fact that he was looking at some misdemeanor charges. All of these are misdemeanors, are they not?
Yeah, they're all misdemeanors.
So I'd read in other articles that he was looking at some misdemeanor charges. So maybe there are more, or maybe...
He was arrested on Saturday and charged. So this is from... He was arrested on Saturday in Manhattan and charged with assault and harassment.
Yeah, I don't know that this is...
I don't know if that's new.
Yeah, we just moved past that.
We just, maybe you just knew the exact charges, but.
Yeah, I think they might have just detailed what the exact charges are. Like, this isn't new news. It's just more detailed news.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll leave that in. Okay. All right. So, this show today is going to be a little heavier. Obviously, we're going to discuss what happened in Nashville. But before we talk about what happened in Nashville, I want to kind of jump back on something that we predicted here on Higher Learning. So Cheryl Lee Ralph talked about a television judge that allegedly assaulted her back in the day. And people were trying to figure out what the television judge was. People were trying to figure out who the television judge was. And I told you guys, the thought warriors out there, that you wouldn't have to worry because the person would reveal themselves.
You did say that.
And that's because, and I can't say that anybody did anything. It's alleged. It's all alleged. Allege that you jump off of to prove your guilt. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, if this is the person that I think it could be, there is no way they're not going to run their mouth about this. And on Friday evening, one Mr. Judge Joe Brown tweeted a staunch denial of something that he was never accused of. He said, there are false rumors being spread that I mistreated a certain lady 25 years ago. I categorically deny both the accusations and acquaintance with the lady. He then suggested he was the victim of defamation and said that he might have to go the legal route. Donnie, give me the audio.
Let me say this before we go further. It's a warning to anybody listening. I might bring in my legal crew and proceed for defamation of character. You see, when they put my face next to hers and they start doing that little stuff there, that becomes innuendo. That somebody can see who they're talking about. And that's very destructive to my reputation because not only do I have a long track record of ensuring that women get justice when they've been done wrong, doing that on the criminal bench and a long time before that, my motto for the last half century has been protecting womanhood and promoting manhood, and there's those that don't seem to like it. So I might need a vacation, and I think I know where the deep pockets are where I might proceed for defamation of character.
Rachel?
JJB. Okay, first off, Judge Joe Brown has a history of saying some real problematic stuff about women. Let's not forget he called Cosby's accusers groupies rather than believing women. Speaking of that, so, and I don't even have a list of all the other stuff. He has said some wild things in regards to women, particularly Black women. So that whole I promote womanhood thing, I don't know about all that, Joe Judge Brown, but this is what I will say. No, Cheryl Lee Ralph did not say his name, but I went back and I listened to her clip. And a lot of people assume that's who she was talking about. I think he's, I don't know if he said in that clip or he goes on to say that people were adding him. They were tagging him in his name in the comments or writing his name in the comments in regards to that. She said in the original clip that they worked for the same network. So when someone told her, don't talk about it, she said, y'all work for the same network and y'all both have new shows. I went back and looked. Moesha came out in 1996 and was on UPN.
Right.
Judge Joe Brown was on CBS and came out in 1998, around the same time. UPN was purchased by Viacom in 1995, also tied to CBS, I believe? Or did that come later?
I think Viacom owns CBS.
They do now. I don't know when that happened. I don't know if that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. So, it sounds like by using circumstantial evidence, I'll just say, that it could be Judge Joe Brown. And although she didn't name him, there's enough that was said that makes people connect the dots to him, where I'm not surprised he spoke out. And now I'm not surprised. I think what he is wanting her to do is say it's not him.
Is come out and say, this isn't me. I never did this to you. Don't play with me. Is what he wants somebody to say. Is what you feel like. Do you feel like, I'm going to ask Donnie. Donnie.
Yeah.
What are the chances you feel like she was talking about Judge Joe Brown?
I'm going to go with a solid 100%. Very confident. It looks like Viacom bought CBS in 99. So I think the dates are adding up.
Okay.
But this research is all alleged. Allegedly.
Alleged. She did say they worked for the same network and their show started around the same time. She said that.
Once again, an accusation. Judge Joe Brown. See, Rachel, we don't like Judge Joe Brown as much. So
no, like, I know. I am reporting my research. That is what I'm doing.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's take a break, gather ourselves, and let's talk about Nashville.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right. So 3 children and 3 adults were killed in a Nashville elementary school shooting. Officers have shot and killed the attacker at the Covenant School, which is attached to the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Tennessee. The dead have been identified. Evelyn Dickhouse, Haley Scruggs, William Kinney, all 9 years old.
All 9?
All 9 years old. The 3 of them were 9 years old. Substitute teacher, Cynthia Peake, she was 61. Catherine Coates, who was 60. And Mike Hill, a custodian, who was 61 years old as well. The shooter was named as Audrey Elizabeth Hale, a former student at the school. The entry to the school was gained through a door, shooting through a door, should I say. Adding that maps have been drawn of the school, including entry points. There appears to be a manifesto and some writing, some other things from the shooter, who is now also dead, that they are looking for. There's other stuff about the shooter that I'm sure will be weaponized. The shooter was, it seems, transgender. And when asked if the identity of the shooter had any bearing on the attack, officials said there was some theory to that, but we're investigating all the leads. No criminal history at all. 1 AR-style weapon, big surprise there. In the attack, another pistol and another handgun. 2 of the guns were obtained legally, authorities have said. So there should be like a script that we read when something like this happens, because we're not getting it.
Mm-mm.
And,
mm-mm.
You know, we're arguing. We're arguing a lot. We're going back and forth. We're arguing. Kids, 9 years old. The kids were nine. They were born in, they were born in 2013. I was 33, 32 when these kids were born. They didn't even get to live a fraction of the life that I lived. They were killed by negligence and politics that looked like a shooter. And there's nothing we can do.
There's nothing. When I was watching it, it's like, this is the reality that we live in, to the point where, dare I say, do you think, at least when it comes to lawmakers who can't seem to get on the same page and pass any type of bipartisan policy to prevent some of these school shootings, it seems as if we've become desensitized to it. I mean, we're almost... They said this was the deadliest school shooting since Uvalde, which we're coming up on the year anniversary of that, which happened in May of last year. 21 people killed, 6 people this time. 19 school or university shootings so far this year. It's March. It's reality. Like, this is, I mean, it became a reality, and not just when they didn't do something with Sandy Hook, when they decided to have to implement shooter drills at schools, because this is how it is. And nothing is changing. Nothing.
All right. So I went to the NRA's site and I looked at what's going on in Tennessee as it relates to the NRA. And there's an article from Monday, March 20th, 2023. That's around 8 days ago, something like that. 7, 8 days ago. The article goes, numerous pro-gun bills are advancing in the legislature thanks to our pro-gun majority. They talk about there in Tennessee. Most of the anti-gun bills have failed in committee. Thank you to NRA members and Second Amendment supporters for electing pro-gun lawmakers to protect the freedoms of all law-abiding citizens in the volunteer state. Please see below for a quick update. And there are several bills here. One is HB 1503 and HB 1005, which renames enhanced and concealed handgun carry permits as enhanced and concealed firearm carry permits, and authorizes a permit holder to carry any firearm that the permit holder legally owns or possesses. The current law allows the permit holder to carry handguns only. That is a pro-gun bill that they were able to get through. Another one was allows a person, if not otherwise prohibited by law, to carry a handgun while hunting if the handgun is not used for the taking of game. So that just means that you can have your rifle and a handgun on the side of you, blah, 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 blah. Those look like they were both successful. Okay. There was one of them, an anti-gun bill, that was on the docket that was very interesting to me.
Okay.
Right. Requires certain departments to create programs to reduce gun violence in communities and encourages a gun safety program to be distributed through hospital emergency departments and primary care centers. It also requires the Department of Health to submit an annual report to the legislature, counties, and municipalities on the public health impacts of gun violence in communities. The NRA encourages our lawmakers to focus on supporting policies that protect the rights of law-abiding gun citizens. The NRA encourages our lawmakers to focus on supporting policies that protect the rights of law-abiding citizens to defend themselves and their families. This failed in the Senate, and it has yet to be scheduled in the House. I'll read it again. Requires certain departments to create programs to reduce gun violence in communities and encourages a gun safety program to be distributed through hospital emergency departments and primary care centers. It also requires the Department of Health to submit an annual report to the legislature, counties, and municipalities on the public health impacts of gun violence in communities. Fail. And the NRA is spiking the football that bill failed. That's SB 17 HB 380. Failed. So,
yeah.
This is a bill that essentially requires departments to create programs to reduce gun violence,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and encourages a gun safety program to be distributed through hospital emergency departments and primary care centers. So that's the reduction of gun violence, right? And the creation of gun safety programs.
Mm-hmm.
The NRA struck this down with the politicians that they have bought, and they're happy about it. Now, let's live in a world where this isn't political. As we talk about dead children, and in no way do I mean to say that the seniors that were lost, the teachers, the educators, the custodian that was lost is in any way less important than the children, but I'm horrified whenever children die. I'll be honest. Sure.
Of course.
Let's look at the specific evil that you're dealing with. You have here a bill that doesn't directly threaten an individual's right to own a gun.
That's it.
This particular one right here, everybody can go see this, NRAILA.org. This doesn't have anything to do with even a background check. This doesn't have anything to do with your CCP. This doesn't have anything to do with any of that stuff. This is programs to reduce gun violence and promoting programs that encourage safety. Bring the violence down, bring the gun safety up to prioritize life. Do y'all get Do y'all get what the other side is?
Yeah. Like, life isn't prioritized, which you just said it. The way you spelled that out, the way you talked about what they're trying to create and what they're trying to reduce, they don't care about lives. They care about the bottom dollar at the end of the day. And it is political. I know you said to talk about it without being politics, but it probably has to do with who's pushing the bill forward as well. Just to be anti a group, an organization, a person, that's what it is at the end of the day. It's all about pleasing the base, who's giving them money. That's what it comes down to. It's not about lives.
All right. Let's talk about SB 1021 and HB 1439. Which was a bill that would have made it a Class A misdemeanor of knowingly giving, selling, lending, delivering, or otherwise transferring a firearm to a person when the transferor knows or reasonably should know that the person receiving the firearm is prohibited from purchasing or possessing a firearm under state or federal law. Okay, that law would essentially make it a crime for me to take my gun and give it to Rachel, knowing that Rachel shouldn't be able to have a gun. So Rachel shouldn't be able to have a gun because maybe Rachel is a felon, violent history, whatever reason. That means I would be in commission of a crime if I gave Rachel my gun, knowing that she can't have it. Because maybe Rachel is with the Oak Cliff Crips or something like that, and she's going to go do something crazy. Struck it down.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the NRA say that it is? The NRA says that it's a place that is prioritizing law-abiding gun owners. Well, if you're prioritizing law-abiding gun owners, then why wouldn't you want it to be a crime if a gun owner provided a gun to somebody who wasn't law-abiding? If it's about the law-abiding gun owner, which is code for white people, by the way, if it's about them, then why wouldn't you want that person held responsible for giving their gun to someone who isn't a law-abiding gun owner?
Because the statement's a lie. It's not about law-abiding gun owners. It's just about gun owners, period. And they don't want to see that gun owner punished because it's limiting the right of a gun owner. It is law-abiding is there just to be there. It really is. They don't believe that. It's about gun owners. It's about guns.
There is another one. HB 1233 SB 1029, part of this one, requires the owner of a firearm to report the loss or theft of the firearm to law enforcement within 24 hours of the discovery or the loss or theft. What's controversial about that? You own a gun. The gun gets stolen. You don't just go, oh, shit, whatever. You got to tell the cops because now there is an illegal gun on the streets. I'm pointing all of this out. This happened in Tennessee. To let everyone know that, I mean, we're talking about this and we're debating it as if it's a cultural issue, and it is a cultural issue. It has a bunch to do with America's violent culture and the gun culture and all that stuff. But there are also people working every single day to make sure kids are murdered in their schools. There are people working diligently every single day to make sure that somebody can walk into a school and murder children. It's their job not to have any sort of accountability over the death or carnage that are happening to actual people and the psychological trauma that all of us are going through and having to understand that this is the world that we live in. Mm. And you can't tell them nothing. Another fucking politician, I saw the thing, I won't even repeat it. Got a. All right. All my two-way people. All the people out there that are two-way. Not my two-way people. I know two-way people. All the two-way people. Y'all gotta give me something. Cause it doesn't look like you're it looks like. All right. Hmm. Take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
I only have the energy for one more topic.
Well, then, is there a lighter one?
No, not really. It's kind of not the show that we really had today. You know, there was a critical race theory workshop in Temecula. It went crazy. You guys can see it on the internet. Why people don't like critical race theory. It's fucked up. But
there is something I didn't put in the rundown that was lighter. Meteorologist got fired.
Let's talk about that.
Thank you, Donnie.
I don't want to do the white students forced to say Black Lives Matter at school in the viral video because I'm kind of fucking with these kids.
Did you watch the video?
I watched the video. You agree with the white kids, huh?
No, I mean, I thought it was funny until I watched the video and I'm like, okay, like they were pushing and dragging and like the first kid, and I was like, okay, that's
so it's on. Wrong, right? But let me tell you this. So this happened real quick. Springfield Police Department, Springfield Elementary, a group of Black students had gathered several white students on a specific spot in the playground and forced them to say Black Lives Matter against their will. Okay. The police report continued. The suspects were also apparently suspects. These kids are in elementary school.
It's a lot.
Suspects, my nigga. they're apparently recording the white students who were forced to make the statement. The principal said that a few of the students who had tried to avoid the situation were chased down and escorted, dragged, or carried to the spot on the playground. Okay, there's surveillance footage. There's no audio to it, so it is what it is. I've tried to be real with you guys and vulnerable with you on this podcast. It's not going to go anywhere. It is what it is with the jackals and stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. I get it's bad. It's bad. This is the way I would discipline my children if this happened.
Okay.
Hey, come here. Let's say that my son, my future son, Bishop Lathan is going to be his name. Let's say, come here, Bishop. Come here. I heard you're doing a day with the little white kids. I heard it. It's not right. You don't get in trouble in school. That's not what you do. I'm your daddy. I'm telling you right now, I don't want you bullying no kids. It's not right. Don't do it. Now, I would like you to get your clothes together and I want to show you Black excellence so you understand you don't have to hurt white people to have Black excellence. I'm going to take you to the Laker game. Okay? We're going to get some ice cream on the way.
What?
And I'm going to take you to the Laker game and I'm going to show you that Black excellence doesn't mean forcing your classmates to do anything. This is the future. Go get your little stuff. Yeah, get your little thing and we'll go get some ice cream. And then on the way, I'll take you to the Laker game. And you better not ever do anything like this ever again.
Okay, wow. Great parenting. Poor Bishop. Poor Bishop.
And you better not ever do anything like this ever again. You don't ever. Who are you to dominate somebody? Just the way they've been dominating your people, Bishop. Who are you, Bishop, to demand allyship from these kids who probably been running their fingers through your head, who probably been saying all kinds of slick shit, and maybe one day you just fucking had enough and said, fuck these mother... Who are you, Bishop? Bishop, it's wrong. I'm going to show you just how wrong it is by buying you a PlayStation 5.
All right. Last topic. Last topic, because you were having a field day with this on social media.
Oh, yeah. For shizzle my nizzle. You know, Barbie Bassett, who... she works at WLBT in Mississippi, or used to work, until Barbie kept it a little bit too real, man. There was a story about Snoop Dogg, and Barbie wanted to let us know what was popping, and she dropped this on the air. Check it out.
Come up with.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Before we know it, she'd have a Snoop Dogg tattoo on her shoulder.
A shizzle, my nizzle.
I'm telling you. Julie, what you think about that?
Julie said, huh.
when you watch the video, there is a black guy to the right of her. She's like a weather lady.
Is he black?
He looks black. Is he not?
He looks something. I don't know if he was black.
Donna, you think he's black? The guy that was right next to her? He looked black.
Yeah, he could be black. He could be mixed race.
I don't.
Yeah. I'm looking at his hair.
Right.
That looks like black hair.
Donnie.
God damn, Donnie.
What? Y'all don't want to trick it bad. That's not it's a compliment. I love black hair.
I love black hair too, but we know.
I was looking at his hair. Just sounds like something.
Play the audio for the lady, please.
He already did.
Oh, you want her other audio where she says grandmammy?
Yeah. Because she.
Oh, y'all got that too? Yeah.
Girl, sis, I know you well enough to know that. Those guys working behind you, they probably know who the celebrity game day picker is. So you need to go swing by the Kroger's, get you a chocolate pie. Well, pecan pie would be just as fine. And you need to go offering it to some of those guys working behind you.
And get the scoop.
And see if you can get the scoop from one of those for return. I know your mother or your grandmammy has got
your
some
grandmammy.
Type of recipe that really? You could whip up. Don't you think?
Can I keep it real about this? All the way real?
Mm-hmm.
It's a term that's used.
Do you use it?
My mother and them do. It's a term that's used. I'm gonna keep it. I'm not saying nothing about this lady. She said grandmammy.
I don't say it. She said to a black person. She said to a black person.
She said grandmammy. It's not a diss.
And she didn't get fired for it either.
She didn't get fired for it. I'll tell you straight up that's Mississippi. They saying if people were mad about it, people were mad about it. If I would have heard a white person say grandmammy, that wouldn't have offended me.
It's like the girl, well, she didn't, sis. The girl, sis, by the beginning.
Girl.
That's the weird.
The sis. I'll say one thing about this. And this is something that this is something that exists under. There are portions of like Louisiana, like deep, deep, deep into Maringouin. Well, I've never heard these people say the N-word, but their vernacular is indistinguishable. Like from the white people from around where my daddy grew up, like deep in the Atchafalaya back in the basin, like their vernacular is indistinguishable. Just the way they talk, it's like no different from the way that we talk. And I've never heard no N-words. I've never heard nothing like that, but all the same shit.
They probably say colored.
They be back there on that collard green bullshit and all of that dumbass shit. Like, you know, people can cook anyway, whatever. Do you have a problem with this for shizzle my nizzle thing?
Yeah, she had to go for that. If I had been sitting next to her, I would have been like, Barbie, do you even know what that means? What does for shizzle mean? What does nizzle mean? See, I would have asked her the question.
You would have asked her the question.
She had, yes, come on. I was gonna say something about what Barbie said. I don't know.
I'm so emotionally spent.
That's what I was gonna say. She's a meter Somebody explains to me, Donnie, are we sure she's a meteorologist? Because what meteorologist gets this kind of airtime and gets to interview folks like this? I haven't heard her say one thing about the weather.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe she was a longtime anchor. She was a meteorologist and got moved to anchor. I don't know.
Now she can retire. Look, bye, Barbie.
I would be lying if I said I give a fuck about Barbie, you know.
I thought it was hilarious when I watched
it. It's funny.
But she had to go. She had to go.
She had to go. Maybe she had to go. Maybe she didn't. But in this, I think it's funny that she said for Nizzle. I don't know if Nizzle is a racial epithet. And I don't know if
Nizzle stands for one word.
So let me ask you this. What if somebody said, my ninja? Can you say my ninja?
No, I don't want to hear that shit either.
You can't. So there, you can't say the N word, and you can't say any N word. So what you're saying is, if that's the case, you shouldn't be able to say N word.
How are you saying it? Are you saying they said the N word, or are you saying my N word?
So if a white person says my N word, that's racist, right?
Yes,
because they're saying it without saying it. Donnie,
because here's the question: if somebody says my ninja to you, I would say, define ninja.
All right, let me ask you this. Forget about the my ninja thing because that implies ownership and that's weird for white people. What if you're singing a song and you put in ninja instead of the N-word?
I would prefer you'd not. Just skip it.
What if you put on a song and you put in N-word? What if you say, what if like you're singing that my N-word, like it, so you can't.
Yeah, because in your head, you're saying it.
Anytime a white person says the N-word, in their head, they've said the word.
They're saying it. Absolutely. Right.
So why is N-word acceptable and Nizzle and
it's
Ninja
not.
Aren't?
The only time I say N-word is acceptable is if you're telling like, I'm reporting live from this where he used, you know, a racial slur. He said the N-word. I'm not going to be mad at that.
Yeah. I actually feel what you're saying. I do. I do. Guys, look, we're going to go 4 for 4 with light topics next podcast. I'm actually looking forward to bringing on someone who can maybe give us the other side of the TikTok debate because y'all fill my DMs up.
What TikTok debate?
People were saying that I had somebody write me a message. All right, listen, no more messages.
What TikTok debate?
So we talked about TikTok and it was mad people that said, well, what the fuck we talking about with TikTok?
And not debate. Okay. Yeah.
And that TikTok is great and that all of this has to do with other people who don't want TikTok to shine. And they're getting at us.
And who are those people who don't want TikTok to shine?
It's like a couple, like maybe like competitors. You know?
Like Facebook?
I got two specific messages. One message that said, this is what it says. This is the message. I didn't even accept it. So I'm just reading it without accepting the message on Van. I understand that you are not a TikTok user and Rachel is. I understand that you might not know all the ins and outs of why this attack against TikTok is unwarranted. But I'm telling you, you guys got it way wrong when it comes to the TikTok topic that you guys discuss on the podcast. I really wish there'd have been more research done as to why this TikTok thing is a witch hunt. Witch hunt was used. So I started asking around and I sent it to a couple of people. And I have my own thoughts about TikTok. People were like, there's another side of it. So I bring on guests on Thursday.
There's always another side of it.
And you know, we'll see if there's another side that we missed.
If it's a slow day, fine. Bring somebody on. Otherwise, okay.
You guys, please love each other. Pay attention to each other. And also, as importantly as both of those things, pay attention to who's trying to kill you. There are people who are. Take the caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Ann Lindsay.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.